Luke chapter 17, I'm going to get to eventually, and Hebrews 12 eventually as well. If you want to turn there or you just want to wait, it's up to you. Let's bow our head in prayer this morning. Father, we're thankful for your grace. Thank you for the songs that we've enjoyed worshiping as we sang in this morning, and as well the special that we just heard. We want to worship you. You are worthy of our worship. And now as we come to this part of the service, the human is weak, and we need your touch, your help. I pray that you would provide that strength that is needed and necessary this morning. It's through our weakness that you are made strong and seen. And I pray that that would be the case. Give that anointing that is needed, both to the speaker as well as to the hearer. Bless in every part and every word. And pray that you would give that anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I have asked for some help, so when they start helping me, don't be alarmed. There's some help that's going to come from some of our young people in the service this morning. The story's been told of an 83-year-old lady who was the picture of health. She had a winsome personality. She was pleasant in conversation. And she said that she didn't have any need of any medication. There wasn't anything that she was taking in the way of pills. Person that was speaking to her asked her, said, aside from being blessed by God with good health, what is your secret? Without hesitating to think of a response, this is what she said. Number one, never get angry. But if you do, drop it. Number two, never hold a grudge. Number three, trust God for everything. She said, when you see things that aren't just aren't quite right, trust Jesus. Give it to him. Later on in the conversation, she said, bitterness will hurt you. It will destroy you. Then she said something like this. You can picture it as though you have a backpack on your back and you're climbing a mountain. And as you come across different people that do things bad to you, you pick up a rock and you put it in the back or in your backpack. What could it possibly be that she would be referring to as you're climbing the mountain with a backpack on? Things that happen to you. Who has the first one this morning? Being talked about. Boy, the tongue is quite a thing. Pass that rock on over here to me if you would. The tongue is quite something. And so I reach down and I pick it up and see if I can get this thing to drop in here. I'm not sure. Is it going in? Being talked about, you know, that's quite a thing that we have a problem with sometimes. Not only on the talking end, but when we get the feeling like somebody else is talking about us. There's one word that we need to keep in our mind quite often when we're looking at these kinds of things, and that word is perceptions, because sometimes our perceptions really are not our realities. And so we think that somebody is talking bad about us, when in reality, they might not be talking bad about us. Well, I don't want anybody talking about me at all. Well, there's people that care and they talk. And sometimes they talk to somebody else because they're afraid to go to you to talk. Because they're afraid of our reactions sometimes. Somebody was talking to me the other day, some time ago now, about this very thing. And I said, sometimes when we go to somebody, let's say I go to a parent whose child has done something wrong, and I go to that parent and I get my head bit off because their kid wouldn't do that. And so they stay back and they talk to somebody else about it. You know, I'm really concerned about that friend of yours, and this is what happened. Do you know anything about that? And it's not so much a problem that I'm trying to spread some kind of a dirty rumor, but I'm a little bit cautious to go to that individual or to go to the parent. It's a sad thing for a child when they realize that their parent believes that they could not do anything wrong. But let's get back to that subject that we're talking about, being talked about. And so I reach down and I pick up a stone and I put it in my back. But there's other things. What's another thing that could happen to us? Uh-oh. Do what? Watching people mistreat a family member. And so I reach down and I pick up another rock. Is it going in? Now it is? Help me out, Troy. It should just go in. There we go. Oh, it fell out. I mean, it got messed up. Okay. Watching people mistreat a parent. Watching somebody mistreat a family member. You know, they did something wrong to my dad. They did something wrong to my mom. They did something wrong to my brother, my sister, my child. And so I pick up a rock. Number three. Uh-oh. Feeling like God has failed us or failed me. Is it ready to go? Right there? It's not going to go. Okay, let's pull it up here a little bit maybe, huh? Feeling that God has failed them. Now, you don't have to answer me. I don't really want you to answer me this morning, but have you ever felt something has happened in your life and you felt like God failed you in it? Let me give you a case in point. Without mentioning names. And I think I've mentioned this before recently. Somebody's marriage falls apart. And they blame God because God didn't stop them from marrying that person. Maybe everybody in their sphere of influence said, yes, yes, we feel like this is good. We feel like this is of God. Yes, go ahead and marry this person. But then years down the road, and they want to blame God for it. You know, it's easier to blame somebody that's unseen rather than blame somebody that is seen. I don't know all those details. I don't understand all those circumstances. But I know, I've talked to people that they want to blame God for that loss and that tragedy that's taken place. God's failed them in other ways, in other areas. And God's failed them here and God's failed them there. It's easy to blame God for things because we can't see Him. Number four, loss of a loved one. I got to go all the way back here. Uh-oh, look how big this one is. Shoo, Tommy, you're going to have to put that one in there for me. Do you see how big that rock was? The loss of a loved one. Do you know somebody like that? They've gotten bitter over something like that, they've lost somebody. They've felt the tragedy of it. And they've struggled with bitterness with God over the loss of a loved one. It doesn't matter who it is. But it's a reality. Let's move on to number five. I'm going to have to hurry up here to get through all of these. Number five. Someone's being a double standard. Someone's being a hypocrite. That's not a very big rock, but that's a pretty big offense. I don't know. Somebody's going to have to help me again here. I don't have my pack fixed up. I can feel them, though. Anybody want to trade me? Anybody want to wear this? Are we getting it? Have you ever seen somebody that's a double standard? Sunday, they're one thing, and on Monday, they're a different one. Or maybe you know just right out of the top that they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. Hmm. Boy, we know kind of some people like that most of the time, don't we? We know individuals like that. Number six, here's one. Here's one. Listen. Harsh judgment. Somebody has criticized. That's a pretty good rock, too. I might have some help here. Whew. Wow. Somebody criticized me. Somebody doesn't like me. Somebody's being hard on me. They're not being fair to me. They're not really showing the love of Christ to me like that they should, like they ought to. They're really being difficult, and I'm having a hard time with that criticism. Hey, folks, we're human. We're human. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have any problems here. I'm saying that these are things that we can be picking up and putting in our backpack, because the devil knows who we are and what we are, and he knows how to get into us. Critical judgment. Well, they didn't have to say it quite that way. Well, how else did you expect them to say it? They tried to love you in the midst. Harsh judgment, critical judgment. Number seven. Well, that one just takes up a whole bunch too, and I think that's a big rock as well. Any bad thing that happens. Man, one of you young guys want to start carrying this for me? Whoo! This is really getting heavy. Climbing up the mountain with a backpack on. Picking up all kinds of things that are potentially a problem, that's a point of bitterness or a point of problem in my life, in my heart, where I could be carrying a grudge or I'm having struggles with unforgiveness. Number eight. Now, there's that word that I mentioned earlier that can really just encompass a whole bunch of stuff, but here it is specifically. Perceptions of things that have been done against us. Where was that rock? Oh, man, Gabe. Maybe I ought to start picking on these people that are actually the ones putting the rocks in my backpack. Do you realize how much weight you're putting on me? You know, are you with me here? Are you following me here? Perceptions of somebody doing something bad, something wrong. Anything wrong. Anything wrong. Number nine. Oh, is there going to be enough room in this thing for all these rocks? Cheated out of something. The cheated thing is just the big word, isn't it? Cheated. Somebody wronged me. They took something that belonged to me, something that I should have had, something that it was mine. Well, I could give some case in points that might be able to clear up a little bit of your thinking, but in doing so, I'd be pointing fingers at somebody. Now, that somebody's not here, but there's no need to even attach it to their name. Cheated out of something that was mine. Maybe it was a position in a church, maybe it was a position in an organization, maybe it was a position in work, a promotion at work. All those things that come into play right there. Cheated out of something. It was mine and they took it from me. Number 10. Someone made me look bad. They didn't even look at the reality that they made themselves look bad, but it was somebody else's fault. Is there enough room for a few more? As long as they're not as big as the one Austin has put in, huh? Huh? I got side pockets, she says. You know, that fits the story, doesn't it? Someone made me look bad. Well, I could stop and talk about that for a little bit. I could give you a name that a lot of you would know, this person that got really upset at me because I made them look bad. Now, the thing was, I didn't even know I had done it until years later when that person's mother came to me and said, "Mike, you're kidding. You're kidding. Racking my brain and asking people if they had any understanding of how that person could figure that and believe that. It took me a long time before I was able to go to that person and try to make amends. And it didn't work. I tried. I didn't intend to make them look bad. I didn't intend to make them feel bad. I didn't intend to give them any kind of a problem. But we pick up a rock because we think that's what's happening. We think that that's a problem. It's somebody's making me look bad. Here's another one, number 11. Someone else was chosen instead of me. They chose them. That can go in a lot of things. Relationships. Well, they said there was more room back in there. I only have three more. Someone was chosen over them. Number 12. Uh-oh, did you hear that one? I deserve to be happy. I hope that's a little rock. It is. It should be a big rock. Can you put that in there, brother? Do I need to get on stoop on down here? I deserve to be happy. Married, children, big fancy house, big car, big vacations, big whatever it is. I deserve to be happy. It's all about me. You know, we get to comparing ourselves with somebody else. Let's compare myself with somebody else this morning. I don't know who's got the fanciest car in here, but I'm guessing that he's sitting right over there. You know, the one that he drives, and by the time church is out, one eyelid's closed, and then by the time he gets out there, the other eyelid's closed. You know, who wouldn't want that car? My wife. But yours too. Probably a bunch of wives, but there's a whole bunch of guys that have a little bit of interest in that kind of a car, just because we like power. We like that thing. It's an old classic. It's something that is nice. There's a lot of people that would like. So you know, it's just not fair. If I'm right, I think Adam had to do a little bit of sacrificing to get that. I think I understand correctly. You know, we can get so caught up in comparing ourselves with somebody else that we think that we deserve it too. I deserve to be happy for sure, but that's not God's plan. Number 13. Uh-oh. This one's not a perception. They actually lied about me. I don't know. Is there a pocket to put it in somewhere else besides the back? Or do I need to just carry it? Okay, just lay it on top. Is it going to work? Do I carry it? Someone lied about me. Huh? Let's just take them all out and reposition them. Just kidding. Okay. Wow, this is rough. I wonder how much this weighs. I'm starting to stoop over. I'm starting to feel it, really, really feel it. Somebody lied about me. Have you ever been lied about? If you've been around people very long, you've probably been lied about. Someone said something about you that wasn't true. I've been lied about. Stories abounded. Got big. I was amazed at how bad it was. Been lied about. You know, I pick up a rock and I put it in there. You know, that was number 13 of number 14, and I'm really starting to feel it now. Number 14. Ouch. Someone took the other side and rather than mine. They were my friend, but they're not taking up for me. Let me just hold it. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? What this 83-year-old lady is saying? Does it paint a picture for you to understand the reality of what she has to say? Whew, man, I don't think I could carry this very much further. Someone took the other side. They didn't. She said, reach down and pick up a rock and put it in your backpack. Every time someone angers you, every time someone gets under your skin, every time somebody does you wrong. And so as you're going along, you're picking up rocks and you're putting them in your backpack. And you add another rock when somebody else does something. She said, you will be so encumbered with the weight of those rocks. Just throw them down. Just get them off of your back. I don't even know if I can do that right now. You know? I'm going to have to weigh that. Just get rid of them. Drop them. Throw them down. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, it is inevitable that causes of stumbling should come. Some of you will remember some time back the coffee spill right here in the front. And it's the same verse. Stretching it a little bit further as we have looked at all of these offenses that can come. And there's a host of other things that the devil can point out to you that can cause you to carry and hold a grudge and to develop bitterness within. He was telling his disciples, it's inevitable. A little bit further, he said, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. But if he repents, what's he say? What's Jesus saying here in this passage? He said, forgive them. Forgive them. What if he sins against me 7 times in a day and 7 times turns and says, I repent? What does Jesus say about that? He says that you must, that's what he said here. And this is the translation, the English Standard says, you must forgive him. What if he doesn't repent? What if he doesn't repent? I think that the answer to that question is in the spirit of the context of the passage, though. Because sometimes we'll jump off on that little bit of a crutch and say, well, they never even asked me to be forgiven. They never asked me to forgive them. The spirit is in that particular context to give us an answer when we realize that Jesus is simply saying that we forgive. I believe that I've shared with you that in the same context of somebody lying about me, the person that hurt me the most died and went to heaven. Yes, I believe that he went to heaven without ever realizing that he had hurt me so deeply. I went to see him in his latter days, and he was so far gone he didn't even know who I was. His family asked me to come and perform or officiate the funeral, but he had hurt me so deeply. But he didn't know. God helped me to take that rock and lay it off to the side. God had helped me, gave me the grace to forgive, even though he had never asked for forgiveness. I think it's a little bit worse for somebody to sin against me 7 times in one day because it And repent 7 times, because I think that what that repentance is telling me is that he is fully aware of what he's doing, but he doesn't care enough to stop. But if they're not repenting, they may not even know. They may not even know. But what Jesus is saying is that we must forgive. If I can't forgive, if I hold a grudge, if I put another rock in my backpack. We jump over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, a very familiar verse to the majority of us, I'm sure. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Pursue peace and pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You see, he's talking about a relationship with our fellow man and a relationship with God. It all goes together and it all hinges together. And it's an unbroken fellowship that's what he's talking about. An unbroken fellowship with humanity and an unbroken fellowship with God. And that unbroken fellowship with God is an unbroken fellowship with humanity. The best that we can, and the only way that we can do that is to follow peace and forgiveness with our fellow men and to follow holiness or pursue holiness with God. He goes a little bit further. He goes a little bit further when in verse number 15 he said, be carefully on guard, lest there be anyone who falls back from the grace of God, lest any root bearing bitter fruit spring up and cause trouble in you, among you, or throughout the whole brotherhood, and many be defiled. See, not only am I putting a stone in my backpack, but that bitterness, that grudge is affecting somebody else as well, because of the spirit in which I'm holding it. Probably not affecting the one that caused it, but it's causing a bitterness in somebody else. Many of you know the name Elizabeth Elliot. She has a way, she had a way of putting things on paper, words. She said, obviously, God has chosen to leave certain questions unanswered and certain problems without solution in this life, in order that our very struggle to answer and solve, we may be shoved back and back and eternally back to the contemplation of Himself and to complete trust in who He is. In who He is. You see, that's something what that old 83-year-old lady had to say. Trust God for everything. Trust God in everything. Don't hold a grudge. Don't allow bitterness to spring up and trouble you. So the question for you this morning, what's in your backpack? What is in your backpack? Let's stand together. Hopefully the dramatizing here is suitable to the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Because these are vital, these are real things, these are real issues. The Hebrew writer said it very clearly, lest any one of you, as though there's a real possibility that we can do exactly what he said, allow a root of bitterness spring up and trouble me, trouble somebody else, and possibly defile the whole body. What's in your backpack this morning? May we respond to the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. The altar's here if anybody needs to pray. If anybody needs to get the backpack emptied out, or just take the whole thing off and lay it on the altar and give it to God this morning. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your attention. Thank you. Is that junior class? Is that what your name is that helped out this morning? Thank you, Destiny, for allowing me to interrupt your class for a little bit to get them started. Jacob, would you dismiss us in prayer?